Now joining us, it is Reed Steep, and from the Athletic Dallas, it is Sean Shapiro joining us here on the show. Thanks for this, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. I really don't know what to do with myself with 3 days between games and this schedule. It feels off, but it's good to be here.
Yeah. Are you in Edmonton?
I am not. I am still in Dallas with okay. just the setup of how everything works with at the Canadian border and the 14-day quarantine. It just made and with all availability via Zoom just from the beginning, the Athletic had a couple writers already based in Canada over there, and I've just been watching from the home office and then using eyes and ears of our friend Thomas Durant. So
yeah, exactly. And it has been a weird scenario here, because you know, you're not in it, right? Like usually, you're talking to players after the game. You can see their excitement, get a better feel for it. But just covering this, you know, the Dallas Stars are back in the Stanley Cup final. How has it been covering this, in this current setup with the bubble and everything else?
Yeah, it's weird. There are so many. I used this line the other day in a story I wrote about Denis Gurianov, where he scores the game-winning goal in overtime in Game 5. And kind of one of the things that this bubble really denies us is we don't get the definitive Denis Gurianov story that we should. He scores a playoff game winner in overtime. Denny is not great on camera interviews in the first place. He's someone though who after a normal game I'd be able to talk to him on the side. I'd be able to talk to him and have a conversation about this and it wouldn't Zoom where he is. They all don't like the Zoom interviews and they don't know who they're talking to and everything like that. And so we get denied what those we're kind of denied some of those stories we typically be able to tell. So you make the most of it. I mean, it's better to be covering it than not covering games right now, I guess. But it's been an interesting adjustment to figure out, okay, how can we write about this? How can we write about that? You talk to people from outside the bubble who know these people, and it's been kind of a bit of trying to put together a puzzle without having all the pieces and everything. And I feel like we've done a decent enough job and just trying to keep it all together.
It is a tricky situation, limited follow-ups as well, so you can't really get that mm-hmm. deep into a story. But focusing on the Dallas Stars and their journey, let's start with Rick Bowness, because you know anybody that's talked to him for even 5 minutes, you can pick up on his positive energy, his kind of mindset. But what's been so, you know, what's been, you know, the job that he's done in Dallas, overall from a player's point of view, why do guys buy into what he's selling so quickly, it seems?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's obviously one of the things Rick Bowness has done, I think, in this bubble, and this applies more so to this bubble, and then it does apply to his overall work and everything. But really, I think the biggest thing Rick Bowness has done in this bubble, and one of the main reasons the Stars are still in this, and they're going to be one of the final two teams, he has gone into this bubble thinking about himself as someone who's there to take care of the people before he's a hockey coach. I think that's an attitude Rick has taken going into this. He is someone who he's made sure that even when the schedule's got hectic, he's been the one driving the issue of, hey, we're going to make sure we plan this outing where we get to the football stadium, where we're going to go to the driving range. And he's the one who's been checks in with players to see how they're doing mentally with all of this. And even earlier in the playoffs, he brings it up after they win a big game. He's not afraid to keep that topic in the conversation of, hey, it's not easy living in this bubble and being away from our family. I think in the bubble, having that attitude and having a coach and having someone who has really from the onset of all this been like, hey, I'm here for you as people before hockey players, I think that has created this atmosphere within the Stars where – and I use the line where, like, everyone says, like, oh, they'd run through a wall through that guy. I don't think Rick Bowness has ever asked the Stars to run through a wall, but basically they're willing to run, but they've decided themselves they'll run through the wall for Rick because of how he's treated them and never what he's asked them to do. And I think that's something that just gets magnified even more in this bubble setting where that's their only day-to-day human interaction. And it's something that obviously was there during the regular season, but just gets amplified in this setting.
Sean Shapiro, our guest here on Reach Deep. Miro Heiskanen, what an incredible playoff he has had. Is he the MVP of this Stanley Cup run so far?
He was the no doubt MVP in my mind until the Vegas series, and he's still the MVP. But there have been, after what Anton Hudobin and Jamie Benn did in the last round, you start to have some creeping thoughts of, okay, if the Stars do win this whole thing, is it Hudobin? Is it Jamie Benn? But first two rounds, 100% Miro Heiskanen was the MVP of this team. Still had that great impact in the round against Vegas too. And he's a guy who, what we're seeing from him on a nightly basis, it's incredible to watch. And it's one of the things that's probably one of the most frustrating things about not being able to be there in person is there's so many little things about Miro Heiskanen's game that you notice that you don't get from watching on TV. The way he picks up plays, the way he covers, the way he does all those little things where away from the puck too, that you don't get to see in all of this that you would be able to see in person. And that's kind of one of the frustrating things about all of this is not being able to watch his performance in person during all of this.
Well, Sean, you mentioned Jamie Benn, and, you know, from a distance, of course he's a BC boy, but from a distance, a lot of hockey fans, a lot of people that cover hockey generally see is that $9.5 million per season. And the production that you expect from a player that makes that much is not there. But what does Jamie Benn mean to this team overall? Behind closed doors and when you cover them, you know, all the time, what does he mean to this team?
Yeah, I mean, he is an undisputed captain and leader of this team. That's something that could never be that's something that can never be doubted. Now, obviously, the salary cap and the contract, the cap hit and the contract, that makes for some fair criticism of are the Stars getting return on investment, because obviously you pay that much money, you need the point production. But as far as in the locker room and as a leader of this team, Jamie Benn is the tone setter for that team. And he is a guy who I think we're seeing him take advantage of this bubble format to allow his play on the ice to really reflect what he does in the room on a daily basis for the Stars. Because one of the things about Jamie Benn is, and he is 31, but he's an older 31. He's played such a physical style. And I don't know, I don't believe that Jamie Benn's style is sustainable for 82 games. I think it's sustainable when he was 23, 24, 25, but as he gets into his late 20s, early 30s, I don't think that style is sustainable for 82 games. And I think in any normal playoff run, any normal playoff year, you have Jamie Benn with a ton of wear and tear. He comes into this playoff run with essentially an off season between the last regular season game and the playoffs, and has been able to come in healthy and fresh and give us a look back at what, and a reminder of what Jamie Benn was kind of in his prime. And that's just kind of, you take that part and that success and you add into what he does for that team, how much those guys want to follow him. I think you can tell a lot about the Stars by Jamie Benn's first shift of a game. I've always felt that if Jamie Benn comes out and has a good first shift, whether it's forcing a turnover, getting in there on the forecheck, even having a scoring chance, if he has a strong first shift, the Stars notice, as a team, they tend to really build off that. And I think we've continued to see that in the bubble. The games the Stars have won, and you take a look through this, a lot of times you can look back at Jamie Benn's first shift and say, okay, that's a night you knew that Jamie Benn was on and his team followed.
Well, Sean, looking Shapiro, at that Vegas series as well there, Sean, in that game one where Jamie Benn goes out on that first shift, Ryan Reeves is suspended, and that was Benn's shift. And it kind of dictated the game, didn't it, where it seemed like Benn realized that they don't have their big dog on the other side. I'm going to take control of this.
Exactly. I mean, that game one is a perfect example where Jamie Benn doesn't even contribute offensively, really, in that game. And they win – well, he didn't get on the score sheet, but they win 1-0. And it's a game where the Stars dominated the game because of the tone Jamie Benn sent. They came out and they beat Vegas up, basically. They allowed Vegas as a team from – all the bubble reports and the people who are there, we hear Vegas is loud, they're cocky, they're arrogant, and basically the Stars shoved it back in their face because of how Benn started the game and started that whole series. And I think that carried over. I know Vegas won game two to even it up, but that really, I do think that the team here to figure out who its Eastern Conference opponent is, as opposed to having to play into game six or game six tonight, or potentially even would have been game seven in 2 days.
Sean, it's been a hell of a run. All the best, and we'll be talking soon. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.